Lord, come into my heart. And I've never reached what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And I know where I would be had the Lord not saved me when he did. And I'm glad that I know the Lord. Each night I'll not be before you very long. I'm not a real long-winded preacher most of the time. And I know some of you like that idea. But anyhow, we will try to follow God and try to follow the Lord. And I'm glad Brother Daniel was speaking about senior moments. And I was trying to find something. Maybe I can find it. I wanted to share with you tonight. But I'll just tell you about these two elderly ladies. They'd been close friends for more than 50 years. And that's a long time. But one day while they were visiting, one of the ladies looked at the other and said, "Now don't get mad at me, but to save my life, I can't remember your name." And the other lady looked at her in disbelief, and after several seconds, she replied, "How soon do you need to know?" She'd forgot her own name. So it does happen. It sneaks up on us sometime, and Lois probably wouldn't tell you, that's my wife. But last night, a good friend of ours, and she looked him right in the face and needed to call his name and just was honest with him and said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know your name." But it happens, and things like that happen. But I know you've been praying for this meeting, and I just trust the Lord. If anything's done, it'll be him. And he works through us. I believe that. He works through people that will yield their lives unto him. But we're in desperate need as churches, as Christians. We're in desperate need. The devil has a lie. He is a liar. He is a thief. And I still believe that our Lord is great, greater than he. And I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter 20. And I want to share just a few things with you. And I begin to think about revival, and I'm not going to take time tonight to tell you what revival is. But how would you like to have a revival? How would you like to really have a revival that would help us, would help you as an individual? How would you like to have a revival that would cure our problems, at least put us on the mend? In other words, you know, a lot of sicknesses is not, you don't get better overnight. And if some of us could just get closer to the Lord in these next few nights and determine more to serve him and begin the healing process, it's untelling what the Lord would do for us. I thank God that he's still able. We've been praying at our church, and we've kind of had a dry spell there. Hadn't been anybody saved in a while, and I've really been concerned and been praying that God save somebody. And that's the greatest thing that happened to a church. Amen. By the way, it's people come to know Jesus. That's the greatest thing that can happen, is people being birthed into the family of God. So yesterday morning, Brian had our children's church, and he's also our choir director, and so he has to time it about the time of the invitation. I give the invitation, and he did, and after we sung a couple songs of invitation, Brian walked over and said, "Preacher, can I do something?" And I said, "Well, sure, you can do something." And he said, "I want all the kids to come in." And I don't know how many we had there yesterday, maybe 15, I didn't count them. Children. We don't have a lot of kids. We got a few. And one of the older girls, Brian, said, "Tell what happened in children's church." And she said, "My sister just got saved." I thought I'd come unglued. Amen. Because I like to see people get saved. I don't know. She's probably 8 or 9 years old. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we don't get them when they're young. I mean, once you get old, you get that mindset, and that heart gets cold and hard. But if some of us could just get closer to the Lord this week, and try our best. I'd like to see a meeting where some of our problems could be cured, wouldn't you? You found your place now, John 20, verse 19. And this is just a simple thought tonight. And do pray that God will help me preach. I want to follow Him. And I promise I'll not be long and lengthy. I'll get right to the point. And would you like to stand in honor to the Word of God? I believe we need to honor His Word and honor His house and respect Him as who He is. He is God. And the Bible said in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Can we pray? Father, thank you for the reading your precious word. And Lord, I thank you for what my heart has already felt tonight and what I've sensed. Lord, I do pray this week. I pray tonight you'll come in our midst. I pray for Brother Boone and Sister Sherry. I pray for those that teach and labor here at the church, each deacon, each soul that comes and are faithful. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us. And Lord, would you just send something special to us? We need you. We need you. We can't do it in ourselves, and we're trusting you tonight. So I pray you'll help me for a little while. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing, and you be seated. I've already mentioned, I want to mention this again, that we are in need. I feel like in our country, in our churches, in our homes, we are in need. I would like to see a revival. I'd like to see a healing come to where we could get back on track, get back to doing the things that God expects us to do. We're needing a revival. I think about we need some walls rebuilt like Nehemiah when he was willing to take his time and to when he saw those walls that were torn down, he wept over that. It hurt him so bad, and he asked permission to rebuild the walls. He was willing to give time and to make an effort. And there's a lot of walls that have been torn down. We need not only some walls rebuilt, but we need some ways refreshed. If you'll think about there in the New Testament, when Stephanus and Achaeus come to Paul and he said, they have refreshed me. I'm telling you, there's nothing like coming to God's house and being refreshed in the Lord. I mean, we need some ways refreshed. Our ways need to be the Lord's ways, that we can be refreshed in Him. And then I think about old Peter. We need some wheels refined. You know, a lot of times we get set in our ways and our wheels, and we just do it our way when we ought to just surrender and let the Lord do it. That Peter had his own way for a long time. But I remember in this text, of course, after our Lord was risen from the grave, and here we find his disciples in this room, and yet our Lord remembered Peter. He said, "Go and tell Peter." And Peter was never the same after that. His ways and his will had been refined. And then I want you to know there ought to be some changes, and I'd love to see some changes. I'd like to see some wonders restored. Did you know every time somebody gets saved, it's a wonder? It's a miracle when somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, when the disciples and when the apostles in the book of Acts were preaching and people were being saved and folks were being healed and the world was stoning them and beating them and putting them down, but wonders were being done. They had a reputation. They never saw it like this. Boy, I tell you, I'd like to see that. You say never happened here. I don't believe that. Amen. I don't believe that. I believe God is still God and God is still able to send revival. I'd like to see a revival come that will cure our ills, that we can begin a healing process. And so in the text tonight, I find that here was a little group of disciples. The resurrection had happened. This was the same day, by the way, our Lord had resurrected. Isn't it wonderful to serve a risen Savior? Isn't it wonderful to serve a living Savior? He's alive, thank God. And he had arose. And yet we find this little group of people, these disciples were there. And really, no doubt, they felt useless. They had lost Judas. He'd hung himself. They had lost Christ as far in their mind. For some reason, they were blocked to the fact that he said that he would be resurrected. And they were sad, and the Bible said we find them locked in this room. The door was shut in this room. No doubt they felt useless. And you know, that's how the devil wants all of us to feel. Man, I tell you, I felt so little coming up the road. I couldn't understand why the Lord would want to call me and use me, but I'm sure glad that he did. Daniel, there's men that's more educated. There's men that knows more than I know, but yet God chose you to ask me to come, and what a privilege that is. But there's times we just feel like we're not getting anything done. And I believe these disciples had got to that place in their life that, you know, everybody was gone and they were afraid they were going to be stoned and going to be killed. And we find them there in this little room. They went in and the Bible said they were there because they were afraid. I want to give you a few things tonight. When Jesus comes, isn't it wonderful when he comes? You say, well, preacher, will he come? He will if we allow him to. Amen. If we want him to come, he'll come. And I'm thankful for that. I about four things, and I'll rush through this, but these folk, no doubt, these disciples had got to the place that they didn't know what to do. And so they just went up to this room, if you'll notice, and they shut the door. But when the Lord came, you know, it's wonderful that he does come sometime. Amen. He showed up at Central yesterday. I'm thankful for that. He showed up and saved that young lady, that young little girl. Boy, that was a blessing to this preacher. I'm telling you, I just get kind of stirred up about that. But when did he come? He came when the doors were shut. Boy, sometimes in our lives, and I've been there more than once, and I expect I'll probably be there again when it seems like that you're locked in and there's no way out, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. He came when the doors were shut. If you'll notice that, they were there. Satan had shut the door. Their hearts were filled with fear. Did you know in the Middle East, in Somalia, and places right now, there's men that are gunning down people that call themselves Christians. Today on the news, they had 20 men, saw it in the paper, saw it on the news, lined up at a beach, and they were going to behead them, not because they were bad people, not because they'd committed a crime, but simply because they were Christians. They called themselves Christians. You say, it'll never happen in America. Let me tell you something. I fear for America. I fear for what's going on. And sometimes I feel like just going in a room and locking the door, amen, and just staying there. I'll just be honest with you. I'm just telling you how I feel sometimes. We say it'll never happen. But I'm telling you today, it's a sad, sad day that Christians have to be afraid to witness. We have to be afraid to take our Bibles to school. We have to be afraid to pray at the ball game. We have to be afraid that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I'm telling you, we're living in a day of fear. living in a day of fear. But Jesus came. Satan had closed a lot of doors. And listen, Satan is closing a lot of doors today. I think about how things have changed in the 37 years that I've been there at Central. Did you know, I remember times that people would get saved at my church in Sunday school. I mean, conviction power would be so great. I remember two teenage sisters, I don't know, it's somewhere back in the 80s, and they'd heard me preach the Sunday before. They came back the next Sunday, but they couldn't wait to get through the Sunday school class. They had to come and get me. Both of them wanted to get saved in the Sunday. I'm going to tell you, God's still able. God's still able. I believe that. Did you know Satan is closing the door of redemption? I want to say this. People are not being redeemed today because the truth's not being preached. The truth is being distorted. The truth is not being preached. Satan is closing the door of repentance. We're focused more on joining the church or doing good or reading our Bibles or tithing. There's more emphasis. The emphasis is not on repentance. We must be sorry we're a sinner. And by the way, you are a sinner. Amen. Amen. I'm a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner. Amen. I'm a sinner who's been saved by the grace of God. And I'm about to shout. Y'all shout up here much. Amen. Amen. I like it myself. I'm glad I'm saved, but I had to repent of my sin. I had to go to where I wasn't worthy to be saved. And I had to say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. Satan is shutting a lot of doors today. Resistance. It seems like the church is being run over. There was a day when people respected the house of God. They respected Christians. Towns would respect churches, and our government would respect those of faith. Boy, today it's just the opposite, isn't it? And I want to say this. Satan has shut a lot of doors on being ready. It seems like we have to beg and pump and prime to get anybody to do anything when we ought to be ready to do things for the glory of God. We ought to be ready to serve Him. But Satan has shut those doors. I want to say, even though Satan has shut the door, Jesus came to His people just in time. He came to these disciples just in time. And I want to say, church, Jesus is right on time. Now, I know things are is looking bad, but if we want a revival that will help us, it will take my heart. It will take your heart. It will take that heart open and ready to do what God is asking you to do. When the Lord came, He came when the door was shut. And so many times we feel like the door is shut on us. But then let's look to where the Lord came. Where that He came. In verse 19, the Bible said, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the disciples were shut, when the doors were shut, excuse me, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Where did He come? He came to their assembly. That was the church. He came to the church. Amen. These were men that had walked with our Lord, prayed with our Lord, ate with our Lord, slept beside our Lord, was with our Lord, watched Him heal the sick, raise the dead, heard Him preach and teach, saw Him feed multitudes of people. And now they have a little church that's discouraged and defeated. Boy, I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but I'm glad He was not ashamed to come to their assembly. He came where they were. How many times at night, Randy, has He had to come and knock on your heart's door? How many times has He come to this preacher's heart at night? Men go to bed so down and so low, and sometime between sleep and daylight, if you sleep, He comes. He comes to where we are. I'm thankful that He does, aren't you? I'm glad He's still real. I'm glad our Lord still loves us and He cares enough to come. I think about the place He came. The Bible said they were there because of fear, he came to their assembly. How many of us tonight need need something special from him? You know, the devil makes us doubt. Amen. Makes us doubt. Brother Daniel, when it rains, we begin to doubt. Amen. I'm a pastor. I know how you feel. I know how preachers feel when revival comes, when Easter comes and holidays comes and things come. And Easter Sunday, we had 16 people out with the flu. Some of them with the flu, but they were sick. And I never known anybody. I don't recall anybody ever being sick on Easter Sunday. We had 16 people out sick. Think about that. Boy, you begin to doubt, don't you? You begin to say, man, what is going on? What is going on? Jesus came to remove their doubts. He came, thank God, to calm their fears. Isn't it wonderful that we have one that will calm our fears? I'm glad of that. He came in their presence. The Bible said he stood in their midst. What a blessing. He took charge of the dilemma they were in. And you know what? That's what the Lord always does. If we'll allow him, he'll take charge of the dilemmas that we're in. There's no need for us to fret. No need for us to worry. He knows exactly what's going on around us. And I want to say, where did he come? He came into their assembly and he came to help. You know, Jesus always comes to help. Amen. He always comes to help. He never comes to criticize. He never comes to put us down. He's not like the devil. The devil will get you down. Boy, when he gets you down, he'll stomp you a time or two. Amen. But our Lord's not that way. He's ready, amen, to help us. Isn't that a blessing? I'd like to see a revival. I'd like my heart to be more open to him and let him come to where I am, that he can clear my doubts, he can calm my fears, that he can take charge of my dilemma. I can't do anything about it anyway, but thank God he can. And then what did he come for? Boy, this will bless your heart. I want you to look in verse 20. What did the Lord come for? The Bible said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. What did he come for? I can't tell you what he looked like. But it's the same day he came out of the tomb. And I believe he's got a body like we're going to have. But the scars were still in his hands. And the scar was still on his side. And girls, he came and he said, I did this for you. My hands were pierced, son, for you. And my side was pierced for you. Boy, and I feel something running up my back. And I believe it's the Spirit of God. Hey, you ever get that? I caught a breeze from another world. Amen. Why'd he come? He come to testify that I'm alive. And I did this for you. Now, Daniel, we're trying our best to tell the world that Jesus came. And he died on a cross. Boy, that little assembly there in that room got it firsthand. He said, this is what I've done for you. He showed them. As a matter of fact, as soon as he got there, he showed them his hands and his side. That's what Christianity is all about, is there's a Savior that went to Calvary's cross. Not just for me, not just for preachers, not just for deacons, not just for choir people. But for everybody. He went to Calvary for everybody. He was telling those disciples, look here, my hands. He showed them his hands and his side. Oh, then the Bible said, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He knew them. They knew him. Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus? Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? Why did he come, or what the Lord came for. He came to show them that he was alive. I think about the gods of this world. I always say this. The Muslims die for their God, these extremists. That's what they do. They die for their God. My God died for me. My, isn't that wonderful? If you're not saved tonight, remember Jesus died for you. Boy, I tell you, if we could just get a hold of that as Christian people, if we could go back to Calvary and remember the day that our Lord was resurrected out of the tomb and he come to this little band of men. They were there. And the first thing he did was he showed them the scars. That'll stir you up. I believe he came, and he said, no doubt, he came to be their Lord. I'm glad he's my Lord. He came to be their Savior. I'm glad he's my Savior. He came to be their shepherd. I'm glad he leads me. Isn't that wonderful to know that the Lord leads us? He came, no doubt, to be their shelter that he might hide them. I'm going to tell you, the storms are going to roll. The storms are raging. But I have a shelter. I have a place. I have one that I can run to. And his name is Jesus. If we could just see these scars spiritually. Let me give you one more. Why did the Lord come? Why did he come? Verse 19 through 23 actually tells us why he came. But I'm going to read verse 21, 22, and 23. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost, and whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Why did the Lord come? He came to show them that he was their Savior, that he was their Lord. But I'll tell you, he brought something with him. He brought peace. Amen. There's a lot of things I don't have in life, but I do have peace. Amen. I pillow my head at night, and I sell it. I remember before I got saved, I was only 13 years old, and I got saved. I'd had my mom and dad in court I don't know how many times, and I was getting more into meanness and more into things I shouldn't be. And boy, but I was raised down yonder in the mountains under White Top Mountain. And them old country preachers, all they know to preach was hell. And I think sometimes it'd do us better than to just preach hell all the time. Amen. Hell's still hot, by the way. And man, she sung in a quartet. And I'd go to church with them. And that piano would go to something like, you know, they put the chords on the piano. And it would be electrifying feeling. I was a sinner. I was lost. Man, they'd stand and sing Amazing Grace or What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And then the more meanness I was getting in, those preachers' words was a ringing in my ear, and those songs were ringing in my ear. And one night I was in revival meeting, and T.D. Burgess came by and hung me out over hell, and I could see myself dying and going to hell. And I went to bed every night thinking if I died, I'd go to hell. But one night I got saved. I trusted Jesus, my Savior. And honest, I've had the peace about it. I'm not going to hell. Amen. I'm not going to hell. But you know something? Every time I read a death obituary in the paper, and I do that quite often, every time I hear of folks being in car accidents, and every time that a man goes wild and he goes on a shooting spree, for some reason, the first thing I think about, were they saved? Because once you experience salvation, you want others to experience salvation. And you want that peace. And my Lord said, peace. He came to them and they were afraid. The Bible said they were afraid of the Jews. They feared. They knew what they had just done to their leader, the Lord Jesus, and now they were afraid it might happen to them. But our Lord walked in. He said, "Peace be unto you." And I don't think anybody can speak peace like Jesus can. Isn't it wonderful? We go through so much in life. We have natural deaths. We have unnatural deaths. We have circumstances with kids and with grandchildren. We have sicknesses. And we have all these things. But boy, right in the midst of it, when you think you can't take any more, He'll say, "Peace. Be still." I'd rather be saved and know Him as anything. I wouldn't trade what I have for anything. I really wouldn't. But He brought peace. Why did He came? The Lord brought, He was the peace bringer. In verse 20, He was the joy giver. They were glad when they saw the Lord. I would rather laugh, honest. I love to laugh. I don't laugh enough. I don't. But I love to laugh. I love to get so tickled that I lose my breath. I mean, if you've got a good joke, I want you to tell me. Amen. And I'll write it down so I won't forget it. But I just love to laugh. I mean, I do. I love joy. The Bible said they were glad when they saw the Lord. And there's nothing like Christian fellowship. There's nothing like churches meeting together in unity, coming together in revival meetings and praising God and worshiping God and having the joy. By the way, the joy of the Lord's our strength. Amen. Amen. That's why I like to life more. A life stronger I am in Him, especially when I'm laughing in Him. The joy of our Lord is our strength. Isn't it wonderful? He brought joy. He brought peace. He brought the Holy Ghost. I believe He's real. I really do. He was the giver of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going into doctrine, theological, or whatever it might be called, to explain about the Holy Ghost and the transition period, how we received the Holy Ghost. But I tell you how they received it. He breathed on. Amen. He breathed on them, the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I think He still breathes on us. I've been teaching for a while, and I really believe what I'm about to say is true. The Bible said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I believe a filling is a continual flow. I believe that's what it is. I believe sometimes our pipes get stopped up, our spiritual pipe. Amen. Amen. But I believe that filling is a continual spiritual flow of the Holy Spirit. 2 or 3 times the Word of God, 2 times for sure, it talks about a river. It talks about a well that has a continual flow. And I believe the Holy Spirit is a continual flow. And He breathed on them the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe He's as real as you are. He speaks to me. Somebody says, "Is He audible?" And I used to have an evangelist, Dr. Wilbur Hurd. He came to our church every year for 9 years. I met him late in his life. Well, he wasn't old. As a matter of fact, he was my age when he passed away. But he's one of the kindest, just something about Wilbur people loved. I loved him. And he'd ask that question, or he would ask what I just asked you, "Do you hear Him audibly?" And this would be his reply, "Louder than that. Louder than that." And what he was saying, that the Spirit of God spoke to his heart. He brought the Holy Ghost. What else did He bring? And I'm done. I'm through. Verse 22. He breathed on them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." But in verse 23, He was their divine instructor. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We'll have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." In other words, if you can get someone to believe, they'll be believers. If someone won't believe, they're not believers. And you know, that's what he's instructed us to do as preachers and as Christians, is to be a light and to be a testimony. If we're going to have an old time meeting that would help cure our ills, and folk were ill, were sick, not just here, I'm telling you, as a world, we're sick. But wouldn't it be wonderful that revival would break out in Valley View? Man, this preacher could be encouraged like he never has. His wife could be encouraged. This church could be encouraged. And it won't come through me, but it'll come through the one that came to this little band of men. And his name is Jesus. I want to give an invitation. And Brother Daniel, if you want to join me, that would be good. And I want you to pray. I want to ask you a question or two. First of all, I want to ask the saints of God, you that are here, do you really, really want the Lord to do something for you? Do you really, really want the Lord to do something for you? If you do, this altar, I'm sure, would be open. Won't you come and say, Lord, in just a minute we're going to sing, I want you to do something for me. Maybe there's someone here. How many of you have loved ones that's lost? And you're really serious. You're really serious. And you want to see them saved. Don't give up on them. Man, listen. I've got a lady in my church. And I used to visit her husband. He didn't like me. He didn't like preachers. I mean, he was rude to me. And I'd go see him. He got cancer. And I'd go see him. And when he first, the onslaught of it, he thought he was going to whip it. But I got a call one day. It's his wife. It said, Les Wayne got saved. And she said, I want to tell you this. I've been praying for him for 50 years. So I went back to see him. And it wasn't Wayne. He was nice to me. He was good to me. He said, I wish I'd done this a long time ago. And I'm saying, don't give up on your loved ones. I'm saying, keep praying. Come to the altar and call their names in prayer. Use this altar. Get on your knees and pray. Say, Lord, use me. Let me be a light. Open my heart. I want revival. And if you're lost tonight, Jesus came to be their Savior. And He'll be your Savior tonight. I don't know you. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. I hope everybody's saved. But if you're not, I'm going to say Jesus loves you and He died for you. Brother Delaney, if you want to come lead us in a song. Father, I want to pray now. Just ask you, Lord, to be in this invitation. God, let us lay our pride down. Dear Lord, come with us tonight. Speak to hearts. Burden my heart, dear Lord, more than you have. Use me, Lord. Give us that grace and help these people, Lord. Their loved ones that's lost. I saw hands go up. They had loved ones that's lost. Lord, would you come among us this week and bring that joy and that peace and be our leader and our shepherd and help us, God. And I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name. All right, Brother Paul.